Hey, well, today's study is in Acts chapter 10. And the title is about accepting, but are there barriers that keep you or keep everybody from just say even witnessing to somebody in your community? It could be language barrier. It could be a religious barrier, education, social standing. But there's also, if you think, and this is something Susan would like to see, is the Great Wall of China. What does it do? It separates the barrier. It, like, you know, you look back when, I think it was Reagan, when he was president, and the Berlin Wall. You break it down. But today we're seeing how God uses two people of, I won't say different, possibly different religious backgrounds, but different beliefs, to break down a barrier, so to speak, and show people how you can really come together without, I mean, are we sometimes afraid to associate with somebody because, number one, of their religion? You know, they don't believe the same way I believe. But does that keep us from just being a friend to them?
We're afraid somebody will say associate with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because Acts chapter 10, verse 9, talks about this as Peter. It says, now if you back up into the earlier verses, I'll back up to verse 3. It said, this is talking to Cornelius. He had a vision. He said he saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. And he answered, what is it, Lord? And he said, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. He says, I want you to send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who was called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. And Cornelius, being the devoted person he was, he sent two of his servants and a soldier out to go to Joppa where Peter was. Now, Peter, about this same time, he had gone on his rooftop where he was staying. Now, in those days, they sort of used the rooftop as a place of, let's say, solace or get away by yourself to go and pray, meditate. But being a human being, while he's there, he was kind of hungry. Now, it says he fell into a trance. Now, did he go to sleep and have this dream? Or was he so hungry that he fainted and passed out? We don't know. But he sees this large sheet, it says, coming down from the sky. And on it were all kind of animals, reptiles from the earth. And he heard a voice say, get up, kill, and eat. And Peter, being Peter, and if, how many times do we obey the word so tightly that we don't want to take a chance on doing something? We're afraid of, say, getting caught or being seen somewhere where we shouldn't be seen, let's say. But the voice spoke back to him and told him, he says, you can't call anything impure that God has made clean. Now, is Peter doubting God's teachings at that time? Is he questioning? You know, like I said, do we hear the word or get a message from God sometimes and we don't react because it's really not kosher, so to speak?
Well, I guess in the Old Testament, I know God just finished Leviticus, it's so specific. You know, don't eat this, that, you don't do the blood. So it's so specific. I want them to just carry over through the generations to where...
Well, it does, because even Jews today, do they restrict their diets? Catholics? I mean, it's still practiced. But, I mean, in these days, Gentiles and Jews were not supposed to, quote, mingle or mesh with one another. But this voice or whatever Peter heard, it says it happened three times. And while he's contemplating what it really meant, is where Cornelius' men found out where Peter was staying. Now, when we go back and talking about when Susan mentioned, like in Leviticus, it talks about, and I thought this was interesting, it says if an animal had a cleft hoof and he chewed cud, he was clean and he was permitted to be slaughtered and eaten. But animals that didn't meet this criteria, it says like pigs. Well, pigs don't chew the cud. We know what pigs do. They were considered unclean. Now, going back to us, do we judge people by the way they look or by the way they act? And we put up that wall in front of us. So Peter goes on and contemplating what he had seen in this dream, this writer points out, it said that Jesus declared that food that does not defile people, but instead they are defiled by what comes from your heart. That's in Mark chapter 7. So Jesus has sort of laid the groundwork for replacing an outward symbol, like a dietary restriction, basically to show you that really doesn't, I won't say have anything to do, but does it have anything to do with your heart being pure in a Christian aspect? Not that you eat certain foods and it makes your heart bad, but just because you eat those foods, does that mean you have a bad heart that you don't obtain or you don't listen to the word or what God has said here, that food is unclean? You know, but it also says here that Peter really didn't understand the distinctions of the vision at that time. All Peter was concerned about was being obedient to the word. Now, if Peter had not had this vision, how would that have impacted the early church? Would they have stayed the same and moved forward throughout generations? And would there still be, there's still separation, but would the big separation have remained throughout all these years?
Probably, because that's what brought the Jew and the Gentile
together. But the writer points out, like, the time that it took Cornelius and Cornelius' people to get to where Peter was, Peter sort of began to understand the vision. And he took it, let's say, that to understand it better, that this God's telling me that I really need to share the gospel more with other people. Now, verse 43, we skip over to there, and it tells us Well, let's back up a little bit. It says in verse 41, he said, it had not been seen by the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. It says he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And he's talking about Jesus. It says, all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Are there other Bible scriptures you can relate to that give you that same meaning?
Some of the words are word for word, like John 3:16.
Mm-hmm. But it goes on, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, it says, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. It says, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they had heard him speaking in tongues and praising God. Now, when it says there that it had come with Peter, if we go back to the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, we know what happened there. All nations were there, the Spirit came, and all tribes are speaking in, let's say, native tongues or in tongues, as you call it, but they were able to interpret what each was saying. Before that, if I had spoken in a tongue, you wouldn't have been able to understand. So, is this another chapter following the Pentecost? Or is it just God using a messenger who would be Peter to really understand why he's sending one in Cornelius to come after and ask him to come to his house? You got two different, let's say, beliefs or nationalities, Jews and Gentiles. We don't mix. But is Peter understanding God's main intention? Does he want just a certain group of people to hear the word? He wants everyone.
It's kind of like fulfilling the Great Commission, because it tells you to go, and it doesn't exclude anybody.
Mm-mm.
You're supposed to go, but the exclusion part comes from us, where we won't, like you said, talk to somebody that's not like us, whether it be religion, you know,
mm-hmm.
But the commission tells us, and so that's what I think this is, to me this is kind of what he was trying to get across to them, that they were supposed to go, and they made a big deal about the Gentiles, but it's supposed to be it.
Yes, we think about the missionaries, even that the Southern Baptist sends out. Other religions send out missionaries too to foreign countries. I mean, you think about everything you've got to overcome. Number one, it's not that you've got to overcome your commitment, it's there. But the difference is that you're used to, say, here in the United States, and then you go to a country and you don't know their language. The cultural differences. You know, would a missionary be wrong in saying, I want to go, but I'm afraid? Or do you take the fear and put it behind you and kind of go with the attitude that I'm going to accept everything that comes before me, no matter what, even if it means that my life is in danger? But this is what I want to do. I want to go share the word of God.
I think we forget sometimes that people that are called to ministry, whether they be a pastor or a missionary, that they're still human, and they have emotions just like we do. So they're fearful, and that just the fear of the first time standing in a pulpit for someone who feels called to preach. I mean, so the fear is there. I think the circumstances of where, you know, we know Paige's, the pastor where Paige goes to church, their son went to his parents and told them that he felt the Lord calling him to be a pastor. And his dad told him, Roland told him, he didn't want him to be a pastor because he said, I know the life that it is for your family. But, you know, but then they quit. But he also realized that Jake, this is what Jake was called to do. So he prayed and support. But as a parent, he was talking as a parent because he'd watched the life of a pastor, and it is a hard life. I mean, they do have things.
People expect too much of a pastor.
Exactly. But, you know, they have a family, too, that needs them.
I know I have a brother-in-law that was a pastor. And, you know, people call them if they stump their toes sometimes.
You're not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Oliver's cousin was a pastor, and his son, one of his sons, Scott, there was a lot of turmoil in Scott's life, so it was hard for him to be, he had to be a parent over here and watch his son do things that he tries to talk to people on Sunday mornings that, you know, and that was a stressful time for him too.
But between different language barriers, does that prevent you from receiving the Holy Spirit? Or are there people who think that possibly? They don't understand. But, you know, if this was all true, I mean, why, when Earth was created, and God did all his works and sent his son, why didn't he create one language? Why didn't he make everybody the same? Why is there not one world religion? What would the world be like? Would there still be false gods, bickering?
I think it would be chaos.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be everybody trying to be the same. And,
well, what if Adam and Eve never sinned? What would the world be like?
I don't know.
You're asking me. That's not asking that question. If they never sinned, what?
I mean,
that, ma'am.
Somewhere along the line, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, somebody would.
True.
But I mean, these are the things that when we get to heaven, we'll have answers to. I mean, there's just so many, you know.
But every believer that comes or accepts the Holy Spirit, are you then able to then speak and understand all these other languages?
No, but I think your life changes to where people watch your life. Maybe they don't talk like you do. But they see you in, if you live in your lifestyle evangelism, if you're living the walk, even though you can't talk like them, they see something in you that maybe they would like to have or they don't have.
Can you think of anything in your life where it would show to you that God doesn't show partiality to anyone? I mean,
we see the missionaries because they go and
yeah.
To places like she said, customs and things are different, and they come back to the Americas and tell people about the folks they saved, and then the Chinese, how they want their Bibles, how they were so excited to get something that, like, we have three or four, you know? I mean, but it was in their language, and it was something tangible. I could hold in their hand and read what we...
But are we as Christians, or just people in general, do we look at people sometimes and think, I don't want them in my church because of the way they're dressed? We judge their social life, their skin color, their, let's say, status as far as income.
But Oliver, don't you think, Helen, and you've gotten past?
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of that. I mean, from the old church, from the old time till now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we welcome, Lord, I think sometimes we probably scare strangers off. We get so excited when a stranger comes in, so we just overwhelm them.
Oliver, talking about different nationalities.
Look at her eyeball again.
But you love me, don't you? My cousin Suzanne Oliver knows her.
Mm-hmm.
But she's so sick now, she's on our prayer list. Mm-hmm. But her husband, Johnny, for a while, with his work, had to go to India a lot. But with her help, like it is, he pretty much stays in the United States now. But they were always having, he works for an Indian company over in India, and they're back and forth, and he's training them how to do cotton gins and stuff like that, build those. But anyway, they'll come over and they have their own apartment. They'll stay for a month or two over here, and then they go back. Well, they always come into Suzanne's house, and she's always witnessing to them, even though they're Hindu. And they don't eat what we eat, but she said, just bring what you want to get in the kitchen and fix it. And they love coming to their house. Mm-hmm. But Suzanne said, I still tell them. You know, I witnessed to him, and Johnny said, well, Suzanne, they're Hindu. She said, I don't care. You never know when something you know, might. And so she's a good witness, I think, like that, just in her way, you know.
Because the last couple of verses in 46, it says, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. It's talking about while Peter was speaking, and... Even in those days, circumcision was an issue between Jews and Gentiles. Some had the belief that you, if you were not circumcised, you had not received the Holy Spirit. Well, but it goes on to say, then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? It says, they've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It says, then they asked Peter to stay with them a few days. Was it surprising that once Peter had arrived at Cornelius' house and these differences in religious beliefs, little things like circumcision, baptism. Is it surprising that Peter stayed? I mean, what if he had been listening to God but had turned his back and said, they don't believe like I believe, they don't do the things I do, so I'm going back home.
It
would have been surprising. Mm-hmm. Do you think there was a balance, an understanding then? You know, all these years I thought that you couldn't be baptized because you haven't been circumcised. But what has that got to do with receiving the Holy Spirit? But baptism doesn't really mean that you've received the Holy Spirit. It's just an outward symbol, yes, that you have received it. It's a symbol of showing that you've accepted Jesus. Do you think in the course of the stay that Cornelius prepared a meal? And like Glenda said, Peter sat down and said, can't eat that food. No. So they're part of God's plan is bringing everyone together, everyone to hear the word of God. Right.
Some of
the easy, I mean, like Linda was saying, some of the easiest ways, you know, with Baptists. It has to do with food.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Invite someone in your home for a meal, and maybe you don't beat them with the Bible, you know what I'm saying? But the first, when you sit down to eat, you bless the food.
Mm-hmm.
And then through your conversation, through just, you know, you talk about your church or your friends and stuff. And so hospitality is a great, in itself, is a great witness. Him being in their home,
mm-hmm,
and eating with them and that type of thing. That's a great witness on both sides. They were able to share things probably in their heart, questions in their heart, and Peter was able to share the true word, what really needed to be put out there.
Just talking about that, I probably eat out more than I should. But have you ever gone out to eat and maybe you're by yourself, but maybe you're with your spouse or friends? And you sit down, they bring your food, and you just carry on, start eating. But you notice this table next to you, they bring their food, and before they eat, they'll hold hands and they'll pray. I've seen that a lot, and it always, I mean, it makes you proud that you see that, but it also, like today's lesson, is that a barrier that I'm throwing up because I don't want to see somebody else seeing me pray in public like that? Am I ashamed to thank God that He allowed me to be able to sit and eat this food? Shouldn't be. But this writer has a point. He says, Christians who are not aware of God's desire to reach everyone, all peoples, we may use these differences as reasons not to share the gospel with those who differ from us. It says, the lesson that Peter taught is, it's hopefully to correct all Christians who still maintain that walls prevent sharing the gospel. I mean, really and truly, we should embrace everyone. Not a short lesson, but a good lesson.
Talking about praying and restless. Yesterday I went to my 15-year-old grandson's birthday party, and it was at Old Charlie's in Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And the family was all around this long table, and there was nobody else in that particular little area but us. And the ones that got the plate first at the other end, well, they started eating, you know, some of the kids. And so I said, and then we started everybody getting their plates, and I said, I think we should ask the blessing. And so Graves, who was turning 15, he said, I'll pray, and he just stood up and did a really sweet prayer, thanking God for the food. Thanking Him for all the people that was able to come and things like that. I thought that was really sweet.
That was. He's had good teaching. Ms. Lee? Well, I think we've learned in the past, and then what we've learned, we apply it, and it then brings out more meaning to it. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.